Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the reading of your word, the living word that speaks to us afresh every time we hear it or read it. We pray that as we reflect upon it now, you will come and touch us afresh by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Mark's Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ begins with John the Baptist. Wild John, dressed in the skins of wild animals, wandering in the wilderness, eating honey and locusts, and crying out to all the people, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." And it had been over 300 years since the prophet Malachi had last brought a word from God to the people, and since that time there had been silence, until John appears in the wilderness. And we hear that the people flocked to him from all over, hearing his words, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And today, the second Sunday in Advent, these words come roaring down through the years to speak to the people of God gathered in this place. It's a familiar passage to us because every Advent we get to hear about it again. But I've been thinking that maybe over the years I've got it wrong when I was thinking about this message from John. We hear his words and we hear him speaking from the prophet Isaiah about preparing a way for the Lord. And I suppose for years I've thought that I was the one who had to do the work of making level every mountain and hill and raising up every valley and smoothing over every rough place. But that's not the message that John proclaims. John's message is a word of hope for us. John's message is a word of grace for us. And all the talk of lifting up valleys and making mountains and hills level and crooked places straight is not talk about what we must do as part of our repenting. Rather, it's about what God will do in us as a result of our turning towards him again and acknowledging our need for him and trying again to walk in his way and in his paths. And that's good news for us, the good news of our faith, the news that makes our faith so much different than most other faiths in this world. For in our faith, we have a God who reaches out to us. The Christian faith is one in which God calls out to us and comes to us and invites us to be reunited with him, that we may live a life in him with joy and in peace. In the prophecy of Isaiah and Malachi, and in the proclamation of John the Baptist, and in the ministry of the Christ to whom John pointed, God is the one who levels and smooths the rough road. God is the one who lifts us up and makes straight our paths. What we are asked to do is to repent, to turn to him, to believe in him, and walk with him the road that God has prepared and is preparing within our lives, within our world. The road that leads us always to him and him to us. A specially smoothed out road, a lovingly leveled road. Some of you may know that in October of this year, I made a part of the pilgrimage Santiago to de Compostela, part of the pilgrim route that many thousands of people have walked down through the years. I did the last section of it, and it was a wonderful experience for me, a time of prayer, a time of just praising God as I walked along the road. But I very nearly never made it, because when I arrived in Saria at the beginning of my walk, I was so befuddled, having had no sleep for 48 hours, that I just got my walking boots on, got my haversack on, and started off down the road to start the walk, the pilgrimage walk. I'd walked for about an hour, and I was thinking to myself, this doesn't feel right. And so I saw a lady coming towards me, and I stopped to her, and I pointed to my pilgrim's shell, and I pointed to my map saying where I was going. And she looked at me, and she looked at the map, and she went, I'd walked for an hour in completely the wrong direction. And I had a choice to make at that moment. I could believe what she was telling me, I could take her advice, or I could continue on the road thinking, I'm not going to bother with that. Thank goodness I took her advice, I heard her words, and I turned myself round and I started walking in the right direction, on the right path. The people who heard John speaking in the wilderness had a choice to make. They could either listen to his words, the call of repentance, and turn their lives round from walking in the wrong direction. They'd been walking away from God. They could either take his words, hear them, and act upon them, and come into the river with him and have this baptism for forgiveness of sins, or they could keep walking in their own way instead of the Lord's. And we know that many thousands came to John. They listened to what he was saying. They went into the Jordan River and they were cleansed of their sin. They were making their hearts ready for the one who was coming after John, the one that he was preparing the way for, the one he was preparing the people for, to have an encounter with the Messiah they'd long been praying and hoping would come. Maybe the word repentance is a word that kind of fills us with angst. And it's not a word that's really spoken about much in these days. But yet, when we look out into the world, when we look into our own lives, we see that many people are walking in a dark place. We read in Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news for us, the good news of our faith, is that we don't have to stay in that place. We don't have to keep walking in the wrong direction. We can come, we can confess our sins, we can turn again to face the Lord and begin to walk with him. And whenever we turn around and find ourselves walking back in line with God, we find that he has prepared the road for us. We can't sort our lives out on our own, but he can sort us out. And whenever we start to walk with him, we find that he has come to find us again. Indeed, God comes down the road towards us, just like the father of the prodigal son that Jesus spoke about. Whenever the son turned round and went back to his father, there the father was running out to meet him. And there was no need for anything else to be done, only to turn round, to restore the broken relationship, and to begin a fresh life with the Father. And really, that's what sin does in our lives. That's what sin does in the life of the world. It causes our relationship with God to be broken. And we know that God sent his Son into the world to deal with sin, and he did. And so there's always an opportunity to restore the broken relationship. this time of year can put a real strain on relationships. Relationships within the family, relationship at work, with neighbours. Sometimes relationships have been broken over a number of years, and there's always at this time of the year, there's this kind of desire maybe to put things right. I had a text from my sister last night, and it just made me smile and it made me rejoice, because a few years ago she would never have been able to do that because our relationship was completely broken down. We'd had a kind of an argument one day at my mum's house, and my mum joined in and I left in high dudgeon, saying, "Oh, this is ridiculous." A few days later, I got a horrible letter from my sister. Instead of tearing it up and putting it in the bin, I went, "Ha, I'll show her." And I wrote a horrible letter back to her. And the minute I popped it in the postbox, I thought, "Oh no, what have you done? This is terrible." And these two letters caused a real breakdown in our relationship. We didn't speak to each other for a number of years. And it was only when my mother was dying that we decided to try to repair the relationship. But I can well remember the day I was going through to meet my sister for the first time. Once, as I started on the journey, I was beginning to make up all sorts of excuses and try to justify my behaviour. I suppose just like the prodigal son going home to his father, he wasn't sure of the reception he would receive. But the more I drove on towards Kirkcaldy, the more I began to pray and think, "Lord, you need to help me today. If we go into this in the wrong way, then it's just going to become worse and worse and worse." And so when I met my sister, the first words to come out of both of our mouths were, "I'm so sorry for what I did." We asked forgiveness from one another, and the relationship was able to be healed and made whole again. And we were able to be united and be with my mum as she was passing from this life to the next. But the sin of pride, you see, the sin of "I'm right," had taken over both of our lives, and the relationship had been broken. And John's message to the people of his day, and John's message to us this morning, is to mend the broken relationship, to turn again to God, to ask him for help in the areas of our lives that are broken, that we know are wrong, that he might begin to smooth the paths, take away the mountains of guilt or regret, and make us whole again. John wants us all to come and swim in the pool of God's forgiveness, to be immersed in the grace of God, to walk the road that God has prepared for us, looking for his presence, listening for his instruction, doing what he asks us to do for him, for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters, and for our world. And as we walk the road of the Lord will fill in the valleys, and the mountains will be leveled in our lives. He will make all that is crooked in us straight, smooth away the rough edges. As we walk towards him, he walks towards us and gives us peace and joy and strength and hope and all the love we need for graceful living in this world. God wants us to be in a loving relationship with him, a healing relationship with him. And God wants that so much that he was prepared to give himself to us without reserve. In the child born in Bethlehem, in the man who went to the cross, and the one who rose again and sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, to encourage us, and to comfort us. In a few moments, we gather round the table of the Lord to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And a sacrament is a visible sign of God's grace. And it will be poured upon us this morning as the bread is broken and the wine is shared. Praise be to our God. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ. And praise be to the Holy Spirit, three in one, in whose name we offer ourselves. Amen.